I very much hope everybody's keeping well and enjoying this the summer holidays. This is a pre-recorded share intended for Sunday, the 14th of August, Yud Zayin Menachemov Tovshin Pei Beis. There is a fascinating story about the Brisk Rav. Brisk Rav was the Rav in Brisk before going to Eretz Yisrael, and he was one of the very first. He established the most beautiful, the most prestigious yeshiva, Brisk Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, where he taught Torah, and he established very much beyond the Brisk Yeshiva. He established foundations of Yiddishkeit in Yerushalayim and beyond. He was one of the very first and early kollelim, and when he had the financial all and responsibility on doing light was on him. He had to collect quite a significant amount of money to pay the young light who were learning within his kollel. And the way he did it was that he was completely passive until Rosh Chodesh, the Mariv of Rosh Chodesh. That's when he woke up and he started making phone calls and contacting people that may be able to contribute and give funding towards his kollel. And he only started literally on Mariv of Rosh Chodesh, whilst he used to pay them on Rosh Chodesh. So he literally started last minute to fundraise. And there was an enormous lachatz because he was very, very keen to pay everybody on time and to support the Junge Leit on Rosh Chodesh. So, but he only started very, very late. And at one point he was approached by his Talmud called Reb Velvel Chichik, who was a Talmud of his, a very big Talmud Chacham in his own right. And he asked the Brisk Rav, and he told him, Brisk Rav, can you just explain to me why is it that you don't, start dealing with this a little bit earlier? You know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. You know when you want to pay your avrechim who are learning within your kollel. So why don't you start the drop earlier? And instead of having this enormous pressure suddenly on Rosh Chodesh and starting to deal with it then, why can't you just start dealing with this a little bit earlier? Start making some phone calls a bit earlier, contacts, etc. Why don't you do that a little bit more without pressure? And the Biskov answered something which I find a fascinating insult. The Biskov said, no, I don't want to do that. And even if you paid me, I don't want to do that. And the reason is as follows: is because I have to work on my midas habitochen. Like this, I work on my bitochen. I have full bitochen that everything will be sorted, and everybody will be paid on time. And once this mid of bitochen, which is progressing throughout the month, and ultimately climaxing on Rosh Chodesh, that's when I approach people, and I said, this is the way it's meant to be: that you work on your midas habitochen, and then afterwards you act. Instead, if I were to collect the entire month, then I've done my shtadlus in a very expanded way, but my bitochen is then not going to be worked on. And he said, even if you paid me earlier, I wouldn't accept it because I want to work on my mitzvah bitochen, and that is the way I work on my mitzvah bitochen. That's the way I want it to be. Interestingly enough, he always managed to pay people on time, and he never failed. He never failed to pay them on time. And surely people say that surely this wasn't the cause of his enormous mitzvah bitochen. An interesting story indeed. Rabbi said, we're up to Simon Tov, Reish Lamed Beis, Dvorim HaPoslim B'Schach. Seif Aleph, Schach Posel, Be'emtza Be'abot Fochim. There's a distinction which we mentioned previously between Schach Posel, which means Posel Schach. So, items which are not Schach Kosher. We have learned previously what is the definition of a schach kosher: growing, disconnected, not mekabel tumah. Anything which is not within that category is considered schach posel. Now you require four tfachim of that, and the entire and that would be considered, and then it would be posel. So anything less than that can be disregarded. As the Shulchan Aruch says now, v'lo pachas me'arba k'sheira. If you've got less than four tefachim of schach posel, say you've got some metal or some glass or some whatever it may be, and that's on the schach. If it's less than four tefachim on four tefachim, then that's Kosher, you can disregard it. Umuto lishon tachto, furthermore, you can even sleep underneath it. When we speak about sleeping underneath, the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot and Gimel clarifies, Umuto lishon tachto, v'yesh poskim, shesovim te'afat fanos, me'abot fochem asuka k'shero. Meaning that if the poskim hold that despite the fact that the sukkah is kosher, mikomokum tachso usimokum osolishoin velechoil. You say that firstly it's important to note that it's not just about sleeping; it's about any mitzvah which one does in the sukkah, such as eating and drinking and sleeping. So all the mitzvahs which we are talking about, if it's less than four tefachim, Shulchan Aruch says that you can disregard it. The Mishnah Berurah brings in the name of Poskim, which is the early authorities, the Ravid and the Ran, that despite the fact that yes, it is, you can disregard it. However, also lishon velechol elim kin oisimokim upochim shloshet tefachim. V'lochein yishlach melechatchilat. The Mishnah Berurah says that one should try to ensure not to sleep and eat under schach posel if it's more than three tefachim, between three and four tefachim. If it's less than three tefachim, you can disregard it. But if it's less than four tefachim, then Mishnah Berurah says, unlike the Shulchan Aruch, that one should try to be stringent and not be in the midst of sukkah. That's an important point. So so again, schach posel beemtza be'arba tefachim. Schach posel invalidates the sukkah be'emtza be'arba tefachim. If it's in the middle of the sukkah within four, or if it's four and four tefachim, then you can if it's in the middle of the sukkah, if it's four and four tefachim, you can, if it's less than four and four tefachim, you can disregard it. More than that, it's posel. Aber pochs ma'abok kshir umuta lishen tachtov. Right. Shulchanuch now continues and says the following. Min hatzad. What happens if you've got this chach posel on the side? Not in the middle of the sukkah, but on the side of the sukkah. Enoi posel elo ba'aba amos. Then the problem will arise once it's four amos, which is much longer, obviously, much longer distance. If you've got four amos of chach posel, it will invalidate the schach. I will pochs ma'aba amos, but if you've got less than four amos kshera, then it's going to be kosher. Tamrinum, because we say doifin akumo, it's a slanty wall. Tainu loima, ayi, shonu roim kilu akoisel nekam. We look at it as if the wall is slanty. In other words, this, if you've got schach posel right on the edge of the schach, we look at this area of the schach posel not being, we don't look at it as being the schach, we actually look at it as being an extension of the wall. So yes, of course it's horizontal. Yes, of course, looking at it, really, technically speaking, it is part of the roof. But halachically speaking, it's considered the extension of the wall. And just like the wall can be of any material, so to this part of the schach can also be this part of the roof, which is really the wall, as we're looking at it now, can also be of any material. It's a slanty, horizontal part of the wall. And we look at it as if it's the wall. This concept is halachah mishmisina. That's a tradition we have from Kabbalah Zatoira. So it's something which is unanimous and unquestionably correct. There's nobody who is choilik on that. Hilkach, therefore, by shenifchas be'emtza. Imagine the following case. Imagine you've got a house which the roof is no more. You've got part of the roof which is collapsed or it's broken. Be'emtza, in the middle of that roof. Ve'sichich b'mokam apchas, and instead of reconstructing it with regular material, what you've done is you've put schach instead. So the schach didn't cover the entire construction, the entire building. Rather, it's just that there's a hole in the middle, and that was covered up with schach. Finishing in Atikra Soviv, bein schach kosher. Lexolim pochs ma'ab ames. I'm on top of page 192. So what I've got now is, again, this is a hole in the middle of the ceiling, but from the edges of the hole till the wall, it's less than four amos. Less than four amos long, kshera, it's therefore kosher. Because, doifin akuma, we're looking at it as if We're looking at it as if it's an extension of the wall, and we're not looking at it as if it's the ceiling, and therefore it's kosher. Miu eni shenim tachtov ha'ovri with regards to doifen akuma, one has to remember that one, you can't sleep underneath it, because remember, it's the wall. It's not really the ceiling. It doesn't become schach kosher. It's part of the extended wall, and therefore you don't sleep underneath it. Here again, it's not only talking about sleeping. Obviously, it's talking about any mitzvahs which you may fulfill in the sukkah. Kol zman sheyesh ba'arba tefachim, as long as it's more than four tefachim. Again, if it's less than four tefachim, we discussed earlier, then you can be lenient. B'meh dvorim amurim b'sukkah gedoyla, this is talking about a sukkah gedoyla, large sukkah sheyesh bo yoser al tzrach posel, shevat tefachim al shevat tefachim. We're talking about a sukkah which is larger than seven tefachim on seven tefachim. Aba sukkah ketana, but if it's precisely seven tefachim on seven tefachim, minimum shir of a sukkah, she'en bo l'shiva al shiva, ben be'emtza ben min atzad, b'shloshe tefachim psula, if it's less than four tefachim, we've got a psul, b'pachim shloshe ksera. If it's less than three tefachim, it's kosher because it's lovot and you can disregard it. And if it's less than three tefachim, then it's lovot and you can disregard it. It's as if it's non-existent. So I just want to clarify this because this is really, really important. It's very relevant to many of our sukkahs. So we have learned over here in this seif as follows. Schach posul is always going to be a problem if it's four tefachim. If it's more than four tefachim, it's a problem. If it's less than four tefachim, it's okay. If you've got a schach posel area, four tefachim on four tefachim, then it is kosher, and you can even sleep underneath it. However, the Mishnah brings in the name of Achronim that you should try to be stringent already from three tefachim up. So, that's point number one. Then we learned that if you've got schach posel on the side, you've got particular lochas there. If you've got schach posel on the side of the schach, on the edge, then there is, generally speaking, there is a rule of doifen akuma. So if you've got schach posel on the edge, right by the wall, then as long as it is within four amos, then you look at it as if it's doifen akuma, it's an extension of the side wall, and it is kosher. However, since it's considered doifen akuma, it's part of the wall, you must ensure that you don't use that area for eating, sleeping, or fulfilling mitzvah of the sukkah, because it's part, just as if you're sitting under the wall and not under the schach. It doesn't become bottled to the schach, rather it's an extended wall. However, if it's less than three tefachim, then we can disregard it altogether, in line with the general and universal concept of lavud. Three tefachim is to be disregarded. So if you've got schach posul on the very edge of the schach, right by the wall, if it's less than three tefachim, we can disregard it, meaning you could even sleep and eat underneath it, because it's just looked at as a schach posul. And therefore, an extension of the wall, it's just lavud, and it would be kosher. Seif Beis is talking about a case of avir. Now, avir is different than schach posel. Avir means air. And we've got to always distinguish when it comes to schach, whether we are talking about posel schach, so the items discussed just before, which is schach, which is posel, or we're talking about airspace, avir, airspace. Airspace is more stringent, because that doesn't become bottle. Airspace is more stringent. So that generally invalidates, that's posel already from three tefachim, as opposed to schach posel, which you require four tefachim to become posel. So avir is more stringent. Now, see, basically talking about a case that you've got a three-walled sukkah. We know three-walled is fine. You've got a three-walled sukkah. You've got avir from one side to the other. You've got not sufficient schach to cover the entire area of your sukkah, and you have therefore one area which goes from one side of the, from one wall, from one doifen to the other, and in a way splitting two parts of the sukkah. So you've got one area like the ches, which is totally fine, there's a beautiful, the three walls and a schach, and then you've got some airspace from one wall to the next, and then afterwards you've got more kosher schach, but in a way that is just surrounded from two walls, because it's kind of split with the airspace from the earlier patch of the schach. So see, Beis teaches us as follows: Avia ben gdoilu ben ktana shavim. Avia, when you come to Avia airspace schach, it makes no difference as to whether your sukkah is a big or large sukkah. Debein beemtza ben minatzad b'shloshet tfachim psula. If you've got airspace of three tfachim, whether it's on the side of the schach or it's in the middle of the schach, bepochs m'shloisho k'sheiro, if you've got less than three tefachim, that's kosher, because we know the concept of lavut, which we've mentioned so many times already, so that is lavut, less than three tefachim can be disregarded and is irrelevant. Less than three tefachim, you can completely disregard, and it's fine, it's kosher. U'mitzdarf l'hashlim ha-sukkah, and that adds to the entire area of the sukkah. If it's less than three tefachim, you can disregard it. Yeah, mitzdarf l'hashlim ha-sukkah v'ein yishanim tachtov, but you shouldn't sleep underneath it. So, despite the fact that we can disregard it, and it's considered schach, it's considered fine in terms of kashos. However, ein yishanim tachtov, you shouldn't sleep underneath that airspace. So, if you've got a gap of three tefachim, try to ensure not to sleep underneath it. And as we mentioned just before, it's not just talking about sleeping; it's in fact talking about all the other mitzvahs. Should also not be fulfilled over there, because that's not considered, it's not real tzchach at the end of the day, it's airspace. So try to avoid sleeping under the area. It's less than three tefachim, but still try not to be under the airspace. V'davke k'sheholech al pnei ha-sukkah, as mentioned earlier, this is talking about an area which goes right across from one side of the sukkah to the other side of the sukkah. It's a particularly large area. But if you've got just a patch of gimel tefachim of avir, which is not going from one side to the next, then you can completely disregard it. Every sukkah is going to have areas less than three tefachim, which is holy. In fact, we even mentioned earlier that you should see the stars. So it's okay to have some patches of airspace less than three tefachim. The problem was, as I'm emphasizing again, the problem was that the airspace goes from one side of the wall to the next. That's when it's a problem, because that's as if you're breaking the sukkah into two halves. That's when the airspace problem arises. That's the problem, is only once you're separating the two parts of the sukkah by having a gap from one wall to the next, right across, that's a problem. So the point of it really is that you have got to ensure, if you've got a gap, even if it's less than three tefachim, you've got to make sure that it doesn't go from one side to the sukkah to the next. The easy way out of this is just you take some bamboo stick or some schach kosher, and you separate, you break this, you break the airspace into two. Then you're helping out and sorting out this problem, this potential problem, by just breaking it into two halves. Because this entire problem of having an airspace less than three tefachim being a problem, that's only a problem if it goes from one side to the wall to the next. Okay.